Welcome to earnestlycontendingforthefaith.com. Today's date is February 24th, 2026. This is Brother Mike Sutherland, and today we're going to be starting a series on the doctrine of eternal security. Now, eternal security is a theological term that precisely and accurately expresses the Bible doctrine of eternal salvation that every born-again child of God possesses in the Lord Jesus Christ. Many professing Christians use the phrase once saved, always saved to refer to the theological doctrine of eternal security. Once saved, always saved is an accurate description of what the true Bible-believing salvation is. Once saved, always saved is also a much abused phrase that is used to justify the ungodly acts of those who have made false professions of faith and show no evidence of having exercised saving faith. They have never repented after a godly sort because God the Holy Ghost is not in them. Many of the unsaved members in our Baptist churches use the once saved, always saved doctrine to justify what they call backsliding. If the salvation that you claim to have has not changed you, then you are still on your way to an eternally burning lake of fire. Salvation changes people, folks. Eternal security is not a license to sin. Eternal security does not promote the antinomian heresy that states that once a person is saved, they have no obligation to obey God's moral laws. Antinomianism is a heresy that is being promoted today in some independent Baptist churches by a group of apostates that calls itself recovering fundamentalist. The recovering fundamentalists mock the old-time way and reject biblical standards of conduct and dress. God describes the so-called recovering fundamentalists in Jeremiah Chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. Here's what he had to say. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. That's very dangerous, folks. The biblical old paths require faith and repentance as condition for salvation. Faith and repentance is the rock-solid foundation upon which eternal security is built. As soon as a lost sinner receives the Lord Jesus Christ, they are in possession of what the Bible calls eternal or everlasting life. To have Christ is to enter into an everlasting covenant with God the Son, God the Father, and it's a covenant that is sealed by God the Holy Ghost from the moment the sinner exercised saving faith. Here's what 1 John chapter 5, verses 10 through 13 have to say about this idea of knowing that you're saved. Starting in verse 10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Let me repeat that verse again. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. That's 1 John chapter 5. Verses 10 through 13. Folks, we have a no-so salvations. These things have I written unto you that you may know. It's a no-so salvation because The moment an unbeliever puts their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are baptized with the Holy Ghost. It is at that very moment that the Spirit permanently inhabits the believer and bears witness to their spirit that they are a child of God. We find that doctrine in Romans chapter 8, verse 16. On the topic that is before us, here's what Pastor Robert Sargent had to say about it. Sadly, begin the quote, folks. Sadly, there are many people, including Christians, who have no real assurance of salvation. Regrettably, there are others, especially those within the holiness movement, who teach the real possibility of personal apostasy, that a child of God can actually lose his salvation. A refrain to a song entitled, I Am Determined, taken from the Pentecostal Praises songbook, has these words, I am determined to hold out to the end. Jesus is with me, on him I can depend. And I know I have salvation, for I feel it in my soul. I am determined to hold out to the end. A faith in Christ that is conditional, which requires living up to it or holding out faithful to the end, is not saving faith. An assurance of salvation based upon feeling it in my soul is a very shaky assurance, to say the least. The eternal security of the believer rests solely upon the Word of God. We are saved now and forever because of what Christ has done for us and in us. And we are assured because the transaction is in writing. I say amen to that. That transaction that is in writing is in the King James Bible that we hold in our hands. The Bible does not use the phrase eternal security to describe the believer's relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ, but it leaves absolutely no doubt that a born-again child of God is saved forever in the Lord Jesus Christ. Eternal security is a theological term that refers to the biblical condition that results from anyone exercising faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and repenting of their sin. Listen at this, folks. Faith is the father of salvation, and repentance is the mother of salvation. Faith and repentance come together in holy matrimony to produce a born-again child of God. If you don't have both of them there, folks, that faith and repentance, then you don't have salvation. If either faith or repentance is missing in an individual, then that individual is a false professor who is an illegitimate child of the devil. Hebrews 12:8 refers to those illegitimate children as bastards because they have not the Spirit of God the Father abiding in them. Our churches are chock full of men, women, and children that have prayed faithless sinners' prayers. Proof that their prayers were faithless is that there is no evidence of repentance in their lives. If you have not repented, then you have never exercised saving faith. If you have not repented, then you're still on your way to hell. If you have exercised saving faith, folks, you will repent. You cannot help but repent because that repentance is a gift of the Holy Ghost to all those who exercise saving faith. Repentance is something that is in you. If faith is in you, God the Holy Ghost will work repentance out of you. Repentance is God's proof to you that you have not received a counterfeit salvation. An eternal security that is not based in biblical faith and repentance is a fire-breathing false god that is birthed in the pits of hell. Folks, you had better have that evidence of salvation in your life. If you have exercised saving faith, the Holy Ghost is going to come into you and he will work that work of repentance out of you. But tragically, in many of our churches, the satanic application of the otherwise biblical doctrine of eternal security is a lie of the devil that is latched onto by those who have made faithless, false professions that have never changed the way they live. Salvation changes you, folks. The problem for them is that they have never, ever become the new creature of 2 Corinthians 5:17. That passage states this: "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Are you that new creature, folks? Salvation changes people. You just can't get around it. If you've not been changed, then you are not saved. God does not leave people in the sin he saved them in. There is no eternal security for you if you have not been changed. If you have not been changed, then you are still on the way to an eternally burning hell fire. Eternal security is not for unbelieving religious professors who have never been saved to start with. Eternal security and backsliding are the heretical Baptist fall guys for every imaginable sin and abomination that is habitually committed by reprobate church members who have prayed faithless sinners' prayers and then been pronounced saved by some deceived individual who is falsely called a soul winner. The sinner's prayer has become the Nehushtan of New Testament churches. Unbelieving sinners' prayers are the witch's brew that has been put into the needles that are used to inoculate countless lost people to the gospel. Warning, folks, tell you this: faithless, unsaved religious professors walk and live in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Here's what those verses have to say. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Folks, that is, I remember Brother Sammy Allen many years ago preaching a message called Religious Hell. And it's kind of based in Matthew chapter 7 here of all the good works that people think that they can do to get saved. Your works do not save you, folks, but your salvation will produce good works. Many years ago, I worked with a lady who was a strong advocate of the doctrine that states that you can lose your salvation. Her oft-repeated sentiment went something like this: "You Baptists believe that believe in eternal security, believe that you can get saved and live like the devil." I told her, "No, I do not believe that, because anyone who claims salvation and continues to live in sin has never ever been saved to start with. They are a child of Satan, period. Eternal security is not for faithless lost sinners that live in sin and that show no evidence of having repented. A truly born-again Christian cannot lose their salvation or give it back. Since God will not accept our works for salvation, it is a cinch that he will not allow us to keep our salvation by works. In the life of a Bible-believing Christian, sin does not break relationship with God. Sin breaks fellowship with God. For many years, I've used this illustration. The relationship that we establish between us and God when we get saved is much like the one we have with our natural parents. If we do something that our parents does not want us to do, are they still our parents? I would ask you that question. And of course they still are. But what has happened? That ideal fellowship has been broken because we have sinned against them. And it works the same way with God, folks. If we sin, we don't lose salvation. And we're going to talk later on about 1 John 3 verse 9. And that should open your eyes to a lot of things. Now, we've had a lot to say about eternal security, and what another phrase really for eternal security is everlasting or eternal life, isn't it? And what we need to know is that in the Bible there is a difference between the words everlasting, eternal. Eternal security is based in part on the Bible doctrine of everlasting life or eternal life. Since the Bible uses terms everlasting life and eternal life to describe the fact of salvation, the obvious must be stated here. For the believer, the terms everlasting and eternal are always in the present tense. That means that eternal life and everlasting life are always present possessions. Having had eternal life or having had everlasting life is an impossibility that results in a contradiction of logic, folks. It floats on a foundation of quicksand. The phrase everlasting life is used 11 times in 11 verses in our Bibles. All but one of those is in the New Testament, and that one is in Daniel 12, verse 2, where it is used strictly in a prophetic context. The phrase eternal life is used 26 times in 26 verses in our Bibles. All of those are in the New Testament. The phrase life eternal is used 4 times in our Bibles. All of those are in the New Testament. The phrase life everlasting is used 4 times in our Bibles. All of those are in the New Testament. The fact that all 45 passages are placed in a context outside of the Old Testament is a message in itself. Before we move on, we need to understand that there is a difference between the words eternal and everlasting. If we look up the words eternal and everlasting in an Oxford English Dictionary, we will see the definitions are different. Distinguishing the terms is critical, especially when we are studying the deity of the Godhead in terms of time. If a presumed deity is not eternal, he cannot be God. In our culture in America in 2026, we tend to use the two words eternal and everlasting interchangeably, but they are different. A short definition of eternal would be having no beginning and no end. A one-word definition of eternal would be timeless. We often speak of eternity past and eternity future. When God said in Exodus 3:14 that He is I Am, He is stating that He is the timeless, self-existent one. He exists outside the bounds of time. The Lord Jesus Christ applied that divine attribute to Himself when He said in John 8:58, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." Now, a short definition of everlasting would be having a beginning in time with no ending. I like to think of time as the space between two different events. On August 21st of 26, at the age of 77 years old, I will have been saved 34 years. That's about 5 or 6 months from now. In recent years, I've been trying to figure out why King James Bible translators use the words eternal life in some places and the words everlasting in others to describe what we call salvation. Just when I think I might have figured it out, I have to go back and study it again. The two words are used together in John chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. Let's read those. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Note the difference between those two verses there. In John 3:15, we have eternal life. In John 3:16, we have everlasting life. In verse 16, we have everlasting life because there was a specific point in time when the believer received eternal life. That specific point in time when they started living an everlasting life was the day that they were saved. Now in verse 15, we have eternal life. Eternal life is the Son of God himself. Without getting into an extended discussion of the different aspects of the incarnation of the Son of God, he is an eternal being, folks. We call him the Eternal Son. The Son of God has always been eternal life. He personifies eternal life, folks. It is one of his attributes. He is eternal life from everlasting to everlasting. The Lord Jesus Christ is literally the manifestation, the embodiment, and the essence of eternal life. Do you have the Lord Jesus Christ? If you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. Hebrews 5:9 says in speaking of the Son of God, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Only an eternal being can be the author of eternal salvation. The eternal Son of God became the everlasting God-man when he was made flesh. Yes, I did say everlasting. Have you ever thought about why the Holy Ghost referred to the Lord Jesus Christ as the everlasting Father in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6? Think about it, folks. See also John 1:14, 1 Timothy 3:16, and Zechariah 12, verse 10, and Revelation 1:7. I'm going to kind of close us out there today for this particular session, and we're going to, in our next session, we are going to ask the question, what role does being born again take in eternal security? Thank you for joining us today.